Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 66 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
The operator of the car that got hit, she did get the tag number, and the tag number came back to Judge Roberts.
A Rowan County judge could face misdemeanor charges for leaving the scene of an accident.
A man claiming to be 118 years old and named Jesus Christ has been identified.
Rowan County's clerk is asking for lawsuits against her to be dismissed.
Employees at the Tri-County Animal Shelter are speaking out against a proposed takeover.
Officials at Eastern Kentucky University are debating $23 million in budget cuts.
In sports, MSU's baseball team hosts a doubleheader with UT Martin today.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain and sleet possible tonight with a low of 29 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A special prosecutor is investigating a Moorhead judge for leaving the scene of an accident. Authorities say Judge Willie Roberts is accused of rear-ending a vehicle on the off-ramp of Interstate 64 on March 10th. Roberts allegedly left the scene of the crash after the victim indicated she was calling for police assistance after the accident. Moorhead Police Captain Kyle Callahan says the woman and a small child were taken to the hospital as a precautionary measure.
After they got to the hospital, stuff, there were no injuries, but she wanted a small child checked out just as a precaution. Right. Officers went out, made contact with Judge Roberts. He confirmed that he was in the crash, showed some damage, but he never did give a reason on why he left.
Callahan says Moorhead Police turned their findings over to the county attorney, who has requested a special prosecutor in the case. Judge Roberts currently presides in District 21, which covers Rowan, Bath, Menifee, and Montgomery counties. Mount Sterling attorney Grover Carrington will represent Roberts in the case.
Police in Greenup County have released the name of a man who was arrested on charges of public intoxication and fourth-degree assault. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, 43-year-old Christopher David Fraley of Marion, Ohio, originally identified himself as 118-year-old Jesus Christ when officers took him into custody Easter Sunday. Police believe Fraley was under the influence of drugs at the time. Jail officials say he did not have any identification on him at the time, therefore they were required to use the name and age provided to them by the suspect. Fraley was arraigned Tuesday as Jesus Christ. He later gave officials proper identification once he sobered up.
Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis is looking to get the lawsuits filed against her dismissed. In a press release, Davis's lawyers with Liberty Counsel say they filed two new briefs in the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals to dismiss the two 2015 marriage license lawsuits. The suits were initially dismissed in 2016 after the Kentucky legislature changed marriage licensing laws. They were later reinstated after appeals. Attorneys with the Liberty Counsel argue that because Davis asked for and later received a religious accommodation, she did not violate any laws. In October of 2017, U.S. District Judge David Bunning upheld his ruling that the state of Kentucky, not Davis and not Rowan County, is responsible for paying the couples who sued Davis for refusing to issue them marriage licenses.
Employees at the Tri-County Animal Shelter are concerned a proposed takeover by a local rescue organization could cost the county more than current operations. Saving the Animals of Rowan County recently approached the fiscal court about taking over the facility on a contract basis. Star members say they want to make the shelter 100% no-kill. Jessica Moore works part-time at the facility. She said a Star takeover would mean all of the employees would be let go.
It's already been stated by the Star organization. It states in the Moorhead News that we would all be able to keep our jobs, but they have already informed the courthouse otherwise, and just the relationship that we have had with them. So we're sure that we would no longer have our jobs.
Moore says, based on the current practices of Star, the shelter would be using more taxpayer money to care for the animals there.
A school district is financially struggling in part because they have to pay two superintendents. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
Fairview School District estimates it will pay suspended superintendent Michael Taylor over $33,000, plus benefits of over $1,500. According to the Daily Independent, The suspension is expected to last until June 30th, the date of Taylor's retirement, which the board accepted on February 26th. At the same time, the district is paying temporary superintendent Phil Easton $338 for each day he works, which is 4 to 5 days each week. Easton says he anticipates staying in the position until the board finds a permanent replacement. To help with the financial problems in the district, Easton recently presented a broad slate of cost-cutting proposals, including raising property taxes, selling a little used former school building, paring administrative costs, and recruiting volunteers to do jobs the district would otherwise have to pay for. Easton says the cuts are imperative if the district plans to balance its budget. Without it, the district could lose its independent status. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for Morehead State Public Radio comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you that April is Distracted Drivers Awareness Month. Recent research by Car and Driver magazine found that a legally drunk driver hits the brakes 64 feet before a sober driver sending a text. The Kentucky Office of Highway Safety encourages drivers to keep their eyes on the road and hands on the wheel. Work can wait.
Private companies building a high-speed internet network in Kentucky are warning that the project will fall apart if state lawmakers don't fund it, potentially forcing taxpayers to pay back hundreds of millions of dollars in loans. State lawmakers sent a 2-year operating budget to Republican Governor Matt Bevin's desk last week without the roughly $60 million needed to keep the project going for the next 2 years. The budget bill does give Bevin the authority to make payments from the state's savings account, or surplus, if there is one. That alarmed the state's private sector partners, who say the uncertainty worries them the state won't be able to make its contractually obligated payments. From the perspective of many lawmakers, the money has been flowing for 2 years with little to show for it. The project was supposed to have been completed by now, connecting more than 3,000 miles of fiber optic cables to all of Kentucky's 120 counties in the first-of-its-kind publicly owned broadband network. But 3 years later, just 708 miles of the network is completed.
Alarmed at the potential cost to taxpayers, Kentucky's Republican governor vetoed legislation yesterday that would make it easier for agencies like rape crisis centers and mental health facilities to leave the state's troubled public pension system. But the veto, the first of the 2018 legislative session, comes with a cost to local governments. The bill would have given city and county governments more time to pay massive increases in retirement contributions for their employees. Without that cushion, local government leaders say it could cause widespread layoffs and cuts in services. Governor Matt Bevin said he likes the idea of giving cities and counties more time to make their payments, but he added he could not sign the bill because of the other provision, which he said could cost taxpayers up to $2 billion. It would require the state to finance the agency's cost of exiting the system with no interest, something Bevin said would be very problematic. The lawmakers are on a 10-day recess for Bevin to sign or veto legislation. They're scheduled to return to work for 2 days next week, where they could override Bevin's veto.
Reports say a Kentucky lawmaker has apologized for a tweet that appeared to criticize teachers. News outlets report State Senator Stephen Meredith responded Wednesday to a tweet from WKYT political editor Bill Bryant, who had shared the station's story on the unprecedented 40 teachers running for office in Kentucky. Meredith's responded, 40% of high school grads can't read or do math. Let's see what they can do with the state government. It's unclear where he got those statistics from. Meredith told WDRB by phone Wednesday evening that he regrets leaving the impression that he doesn't respect teachers. The Republican from Litchfield later deleted his Twitter account, saying social media has become too toxic.
Eastern Kentucky University is debating whether to approve up to $23 million worth of proposed budget cuts. KNN's Haley Hansen has more.
More than a dozen academic programs are on the chopping block, including EKU's ASN in nursing, bachelor's in marketing, and minor in theater programs. Wiley Cottle is a theater major and tells WKYT,
all of the skills and attributions that I feel like I've learned through EKU have been through theater classes.
EKU President Michael Benson says out of the 505 recommendations, he agreed to 502, making his case to save both theater and economics. I'm Haley Hansen.
Sonny Perdue, Secretary of the United States Department of Agriculture, stopped at Harold White Lumber yesterday as part of a nationwide tour.
It's wonderful to see a multi-generational family continuing to grow, innovate, and create new products. And we were just over here looking at a shutter line where the hardwoods from the Miss Appalachian region are used to create high-end hardwood shutters in homes across the country and across the world, literally.
Perdue said it's important not to forget that national forests and the lumber industry are a part of agriculture. Perdue also praised President Trump's recently imposed tariffs, saying that while it may be difficult at first, fairer trade laws will benefit American businesses.
A Rowan County nonprofit has kicked off a new initiative. Sustainable Moorhead has started an offshoot organization called the Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park. Sustainable Moorhead's main goal is to improve livability in the community. Spokeswoman Carolyn Franzini says the Friends are planning to do some fix-ups at the park, including the acquisition and installation of some additional playground equipment.
There's some unused playground equipment in the city over by the soccer field by Rodburn, and that's been discussed to move it over. So we're not real sure how that outcome will be. Other things we're hoping to do, we've applied for a district rotary grant to provide some signage to identify trees, maybe some paw print signs, maybe history of the park, you know, just some informational kinds of things.
Sustainable Moorhead has also applied for a Kentucky Pride grant. The two grants would total $7,000. The Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park will hold a cleanup day at the facility on Saturday, April 14th at 9 a.m.
Crews from the Kentucky Department of Highways are working to finish up a project in Ashland. Alan Blair is the spokesman for the department's District 9 office in Flemingsburg. He says the project to upgrade a number of traffic signals at intersections along U.S. 60 in the downtown area began on Monday.
It's just part of a standard upgrade we do to replace the wiring and signal systems just routinely. So, you know, this is something that we need to do in that area. The problem is to do all of that and replace the wiring requires us to shut down the signal for several hours. So we just wanted to make sure people were aware of that, to know that there's going to be flagged traffic, and that's always a little bit slower.
Blair says drivers should expect delays in the areas where the work is being conducted and should use alternate routes to their destination points whenever possible.
Residents in Breathitt County are reacting to the possibility of 121 new jobs coming to the region. According to WYMT, Hydroponics USA is looking to build a greenhouse on an abandoned strip mine. Breathitt County resident Larry Combs says he'll be glad to see the 42-acre site put to use.
Oh, like I said a while ago, said that they've got acres and acres and acres just sitting up there growing up and just like that right there, growing up in trees and stuff like that they could use for other industrial businesses and stuff.
The startup company is still waiting on permits from the state. The facility is expected to take just over a year to construct.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for tonight into this weekend, you can expect cloudy skies with a low of 29 with a 70% chance of rain and some sleet. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high near 41, 60% chance of snow before rain in the afternoon. New snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches is possible. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 23. Sunday, increasing clouds with a high near 47. Sunday night, a 40% chance of rain showers after 10 p.m., mixing with snow after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 33. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 69 degrees in Inez, 67 degrees in Ashland, it is 66 degrees here in Moorhead, 64 degrees in Winchester, and 63 degrees in Flemingsburg and Lexington.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff ponders a systematically corrupt phrase that we hear often in the news and entertainment industry.
Have you ever had a turn of phrase bother you, but you didn't know why? After years of finding it grating, you start to surrender to it becoming normal, and then by good fortune it hits you. The phrase really is deserving of loathing. One such phrase I heard again the other day on a radio program. The person was referring to murders in Syria in relation to the civil war there and said, execution-style killings. Surely you've heard this phrase and its derivations, such as shot execution style. What becomes apparent, with a bit of calm consideration, are the numerous disharmonious paradigms being called up by the items in the phrase execution style. Let's start with an assumption that we object to murder, okay? Done. Now, in every usage, execution style refers to a murder. Executions actually are not murders, done properly. Properly if you accept the paradigm of capital punishment as just. So an initial clash is the use of execution to mean something it does not mean. A common form of wordplay, yes. But then to further the deviation by saying style, as if plain old murder is some form of unstyled thing. And so this raises the question of style itself. The word style can evoke positive meanings. Attached to other words, it is usually a positive addition, such as in freestyle or jazz style or American style. We say someone has style when they are good at what they do. We occasionally complain about style when it doesn't match our tastes. But none of these common usages functions to convert the meaning of the other word in the phrase, as with execution style. The referent is murder. So why bring up style? Try to hear that phrase without thinking of the archetype of the illegal yet morally justified murder, say that you've watched hundreds, perhaps thousands of times in film and on television. That's another reason to be bothered by this phrase. As a proper execution is justified and legal, having been judged the moral punishment for an offender, to say a murder was performed execution style suggests it somehow is justified, sanctioned morally, if still murder, almost excusable under the right circumstances. Kathy Griffin comes to mind all of a sudden for some reason. So what can we do? We can call murder what it is and stop the euphemizing. Time to kill this phrase, execution style. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. It's 4:47 and 66 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Logan Pemberton, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rouen and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
The Eagles are home. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The 18-13 Morehead State baseball Eagles are currently in game number 2 of their at-home doubleheader with UT Martin. The Eagles won the first game today 25-2 with right fielder Jake Hammond getting 2 hits and 4 RBIs. They are currently 0-0 in the top of the first in the second game. MSU coach Mike McGuire says that having star outfielder Nico Holsizer back in play after an injury is a great help to his ball club.
One of the things that him being back in the lineup does is, you know, it provides a little boost, you know, not just having him in there, but just, you know, a little confidence to, you know, the guys, you know, as well, because they know what he's capable of and what he means to us as a team. And you know, it's good to have that bat in there.
The Eagles play again Wednesday when they travel to take on Butler. The Morehead State softball Eagles are also home today as they continue their doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky. The Eagles lost their first game today 7-0. And they are currently down 2-0 in the bottom of the second in their final game. The Eagles are traveling to Huntington Wednesday evening to take on Marshall in another on-the-road hitter. The first game starts at 1. The Cincinnati Reds are back in Pittsburgh tonight at 7:05, looking to even up their series with the Pirates. The Reds saw their record drop to 1-4 after losing the opener of the 4-game set last night 5-2. One of the lone bright spots for manager Brian Price's team was the work of lefty reliever Amir Garrett, who had 2 strikeouts in hurling a scoreless inning and a third.
He's doing exactly what he did in spring training, and that's attacking the zone and coming after the hitters with his best stuff. He's varying his times to the plate. He's offsetting the timing of the hitters with his slide step and his regular delivery, and he's been able to get that slider over also, which has really helped.
2 right-handers will pitch tonight in the Steel City, Luis Castillo for the Reds and Trevor Williams for the Pirates. The Morehead State football team is scheduled to hold its first full contact inter-squad scrimmage of the spring tomorrow. Coach Rob Tenure says he'll have one main thing that he'll be watching for.
I want to see who's going to make plays, you know, who's going to be productive. And as I mentioned before spring started, just consistency piece, you know, who's going to play consistent, who's going to be productive. And then obviously the competition piece. I think that's really important. I want to see guys compete every play, every down, you know, just offense versus defense a little bit.
The Football Eagles are in their second week of spring drills, which will wrap up on April 21st. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops insists the Wildcats will be just fine at quarterback. Sophomores Gunnar Hoke and Terry Wilson are battling to replace former starter Steven Johnson, who's finished his eligibility. Stoops, though, admits it's been an up-and-down ride when it comes to the play of Hoke and Wilson during spring practices.
Some good and some bad. I'd like to say it's all good across the board, but, everybody says it, but it's true about they need players around. You know, offensively, you have to be all in sync, and you have to have some guys that create some big plays for you.
The Cats are completing their third week of spring drills. The Morehead State football team ends its spring practices tonight at 7 o'clock. Coach Kelly Ford's Vikings will hold their annual green-white scrimmage at Paul Owsley Stadium.
The spring game is one of the important things that keeps the kid excited in the spring and to make them better and get excited and fly around and play a little football.
Ford says nearly 60 players have been taking part in Rowan's spring practices. He says a number of players are taking part in other sports right now, though, including track and baseball. Even though Louisville remains a part of the FBI's ongoing probe of corruption in college basketball, new coach Chris Mack isn't spending any time thinking about it. Mack recently told Spectrum News that his focus is not on that issue.
That's going to play out in time. You know, there's so many unknowns. To it, what's true, what's not true. The fact that they see all the evidence and leave it off in some court system, which, you know, isn't going to have any cases tried until later on, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to worry about it. You know, do we have to answer to it? A little bit. But as I tell recruits and their families and the parents of the current players, you know, we got a great thing to sell here at Louisville.
The FBI has been looking into allegations that athletes received thousands of dollars to play at certain NCAA schools, which cost former U of L coach Rick Pitino his job last fall. And lastly in sports, Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd believes his Eagles could be special next season, including incoming transfer Aaliyah June, a forward from Rutgers, and a guard, Crystal Simmons, who came to Morehead from St. John's. Todd says the Eagles will have plenty of talent on their roster.
You know, we have probably our top player back in Miranda Crockett, who's first team All-OVC. And then Tierra McCallum was, I feel like, our best player before she got injured. So that's four pretty exciting players that could all be up for All-OVC next year.
The MSU women will also look to fill two scholarships during the spring signing period, which begins next Wednesday. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Online at MSUEagles.com. Softball plays a doubleheader, hosting Murray State at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 15th, and baseball welcomes West Virginia Tech at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, April 18th. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply as worries of a trade war brewing between the U.S. and China grew, and Wall Street also digested disappointing employment data, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 572.46 at 23,932.76. The S&P 500 was down 58.37 at 2604.47, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 161.44 at 6915.11. The sell-off accelerated in the final 2 hours of trading after the Fed chief Jerome Powell indicated the central bank would continue hiking rates this year. Some traders were hoping the Fed chief would acknowledge the recent market volatility caused by the trade dispute. After China announced fresh tariffs on 106 U.S. products on Wednesday, President Trump threatened more levies yesterday, stating that he has asked the United States Trade Representative to consider $100 billion in additional tariffs against China. U.S. stock futures plunged overnight on the news while global stock markets fell. China's Commerce Ministry said Friday the country will not hesitate to react with a major response to the new tariffs from the U.S. Boeing and Caterpillar, two companies that could be adversely affected by a trade war, both fell more than 3.5%. Shares of large-cap tech companies also fell, with Apple and Amazon both declining more than 2%. Netflix dropped 2.2% after briefly trading higher. Stocks briefly came off their lows amid day trading after an official from Mexico's economic ministry said the person was very convinced a new deal on NAFTA will be reached soon. And the move lower in stocks also follows the release of much weaker-than-expected jobs data. The Labor Department reported the U.S. economy added 103,000 jobs in March. Economists polled going into the report expected a gain of 193,000. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.4% at $62 a barrel. Gold was up 0.625% at $1,336.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.375%. In the Far East, most bourses were down, although the Hang Seng did manage a gain of 1.1%. The Nikkei average finished with a loss of 0.375%. Among Dow industrial stocks, not a single Dow industrial stock was up today. The two worst performers were Caterpillar and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Ventas and Ulta Beauty, while the worst performers were Insight and Nectar Therapeutics. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.92 at $68.64, CSX down $1.25 at $54.35, AEP down 42 cents at $68.52, AK Steel down 21 cents at $4.36, Marathon Petroleum down 95 cents at $72.46, and Community Trust Bank was down 85 cents to finish at $45.05. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for this weekend. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high near 41 with a 60% chance of snow before it turns into rain in the afternoon. Snow accumulation of up to 1 to 2 inches. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 23. Sunday, increasing clouds with a high near 47. Sunday night, a 40% chance of rain showers after 10 p.m., mixing with snow after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 33. And for your Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 53 and a 40% chance of snow that will become rain by the evening.
Taking a look at some events that are happening in your region, the annual Community Baby Shower will be held at the Moorhead Conference Center from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, April 7th. That's tomorrow. Sponsored by St. Clair Healthcare and UK Healthcare, the event will feature educational sessions and health information related to pregnancy and newborn care. Door prizes will be offered and admission is free.
The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra, under the direction of Dr. Timothy Durbin, presents Celebration, their spring concert at 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 22nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Tickets are $15 for adults, free to MSU students and children ages 17 and under.
Moorhead State University presents the President's Spring Concert on the lawn of the Wayne and Susan Andrews Hall. The event begins at 5 p.m. on Thursday, April 26. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Arlo Barnett, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, Jack Caudill, Ellen Barnett, Kenzie Thompson, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Haley Hansen and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from Moorhead State University's Dr. John Modath. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.